Muhammad, the founder of Islam. Now, the life of Muhammad and the early history of Islam is more like a common knowledge in the secular world. Muhammad was actually a real person that was born and raised in Mecca in Arabia, modern-day Saudi Arabia. And at the age of 40, he claimed, or he thought that he saw a vision from God, the same God of the Bible. We will see tomorrow that he did not really see that vision from God. But whether he did see something or not, no one knows. I firmly believe that he did actually see something. And this is a situation that is common in history. The history tells us about Joan of Arc, or St. Francis of Assisi, or Ellen G. White, people who claim to have seen visions from God, and they base a whole religion on that. They change their religion based on that vision. Excuse me. And Paul has something to say against that in Colossians 2. Against us being robbed out of our reward because of a vision that we thought we saw. Now we will study part of the theology of Islam. Of course, there are bigger to the theology of Islam than what we will be studying now. What do Muslims think about God? What do Muslims think about Jesus or about Muhammad? All of that is included in the book that is being published now by Sunset International Bible Institute by the name Islam in Christ's Eyes. This class specifically talks about that part of the Islamic beliefs that are common in the Western world. When you want to learn something about the religion of Islam, it looks like people are giving you different answers. You go to your preacher, and the preacher in Susquehanna Valley, Pennsylvania, would tell you one thing about Islam. The preacher in San Diego, California, would tell you a different thing. So you go to a Muslim religious person, an imam, and you ask that imam, what is Islam all about? What does Islam say about that specific thing? And the imam in Chicago, Illinois, would tell you one thing, and the imam in Cairo, Egypt, would tell you a different thing. And so it looks like there is a motive that bans people from saying the truth about Islam. There are two kinds of people that talk about Islam, Muslims and non-Muslims. Muslims would not tell you the whole truth about Islam, and non-Muslims could not tell you the truth about Islam. So that's why we put up this class, What Does Islam Say About Itself? By the way, if you are not born and raised to a Christian community, I was born and raised in Iraq. I did not know what the Christian faith is all about. So I thought, who would tell the truth about Christianity better than the Pope? Because to me, that looks like he's the authority. He's the biggest guy in the Christian world in the news. So you ask the Pope, how can I be saved? And the Pope can tell you one thing. And then you ask Billy Graham, and Billy Graham would tell you a different thing. And then you ask Wissam al-Aifawi, and he will tell you a third thing. Who decides what the Christian faith is all about? God or Jesus. By the way, all those people, like the Pope does not tell you, oh, I'm going to tell you what Muhammad says about Islam. He tells you what God says. The Pope tells you, quote, this is what God says about the Christian faith. Billy Graham says, no, this is what God says about the Christian faith. So whom should I trust? What's that?
Yourself.
No, not yourself. By the way, Paul, I'll be talking about that in more details tomorrow in my conversion story. When I was in Iraq, when I got exposed to the integrity and the truth of the Bible, I thought everybody who teaches the Bible teaches the truth in integrity. And so I used to Google Bible studies and stuff. Of course, that was not the case. There are more false teachers than true teachers in the Christian faith. They're not using the Quran. They all use the Bible. But they tell you different things about the Christian faith for different motives. And Paul talks about that in 1 Timothy 6. Paul says, in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3, Paul gives five motives why you should not teach the truth of the gospel. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to the wholesome words, this is 1 Timothy 6:3, even the words of the Lord Jesus Christ and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, verse 4, he is proud. Oh, so pride is one reason why people lie about the Christian faith. Knowing nothing. Oh, ignorance is a second reason. Not every Bible teacher knows the Bible, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which comes envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings. So, obsession with sophistry. People twist words to say, well, the Bible says this, then we should do that. And they would twist Bible passages to promote hatred, racism, slavery, wars, immorality, and so forth. Well, the Bible says vote for this or that. Oh no, the Bible did not say that. He just twisted that. Men of corrupt minds. Corruption of mind is a fourth motive. And destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a mean of gain. Greed is a fifth motive why people do not teach the truth about the Christian faith. Likewise, there is a motive why people do not teach the truth about Islam. And by the way, as in the Christian case, who says the truth about the Christian faith? It's not the Pope, it's not Billy Graham, it's the Bible if handled correctly. And the same goes with Islam. It's the Quran, if handled correctly, that tells you what Islam is really all about. This presentation is about the religion of Islam. Where is my clicker? It is not about defaming any Muslim. Separate the religion from the people. Early, oh, by the way, my mom is Muslim. You say one thing about my mom, I'm going to say one thing about your mom. It's not about promoting prejudice against Arabs. I'm an Arab. It's not, by the way, I am not a politician. Last year, somebody asked me, are you a Republican or a Democrat? I said, well, I'm an Arab. He said, okay, so Democrat? Some of us have this very narrow perspective. They see everything through the Republican-Democratic debate. Facts are actually absolute, does not have anything to do with the political affiliation. So it's not about compliance with or going against any political agenda or view. It is about questioning the Quran's claim to be the final word of God. The Quran says that it was inspired by the same God that inspired the Bible. And Muhammad's claim to be the prophet of God, the seal of the prophet, the final messenger of God. It is about questioning the Muslims' claim that the Quran promises life eternal. It is about straightening out some of the most common misconceptions about Islam in the Western world. That's why, for our limited time here, I chose this class as a sample of the theology of Islam. Like Paul said, there are motives why people do not teach you the truth about the Christian faith. The same goes with Islam. The first reason why people do not tell you the full truth about Islam is ignorance. Most Muslim people are ignorant on their faith. When I ask my mom, for example, a devout Muslim that wakes up at 4 o'clock in the morning to read her scripture, I wish I can have her faith, the Christian version of her faith. And I tell her, can't you just see what the Quran says? She would say, well, this is what the Quran says. I am pretty sure this is not what the Quran means. You will have to go to the imam and ask him. I am just a human being. The imam is more equipped to tell you what the Quran really means. By the way, before you criticize Muslims for having this attitude, remember that that used to be the case with the Christian world for the first 1500 years before Martin Luther came and said, hey, the Bibles are being printed, they are being translated. You read your Bible, you do your own homework, you come to your own conclusion, because you're the only person that is accountable to your faith. So ignorance is number one. Second of all, there are those salesmen in the Western world who want to win you over to the religion of Islam. Of course, they would not tell you, well, Islam is bad and it is false and it promotes jihad, so I'm inviting you to convert to Islam today. The third reason, and this is a unique perspective, me being from Iraq historically, I have been exposed directly to this reason, is that because Islam is so inherently violent, you cannot preach its violence without you becoming one of its first victims. I was born in 1979. A few months later, Saddam Hussein became our president. And unlike what most Americans think, he was not a religious person, he was secular. And he tried to impose a socialist, military, secular system on the predominantly Muslim people of Iraq. He actually executed most of the religious leaderships of the predominantly Shiite community of Iraq. He would not allow anyone preach violence in the mosques. By the way, imams receive their salaries from the government. They do not raise their support. So the government expects them to preach what the government wants them to preach. 2003 came. Saddam Hussein was toppled. The imams said, the bad imams said, okay, Saddam Hussein is not here anymore. What are we waiting for? Let's preach the violence in Islam. They are all dead now. Are you familiar with a Syrian-American director by the name Mustafa Akkad? Okay. Are you familiar with a classic horror series called Halloween? Uh-huh. He's the one who produced that series. That man is more known in the Muslim world for producing another movie and directing another movie called The Message in 1977 that tells the story of Muhammad. The movie was such a hit in 1977 when it was released, it almost took the Oscar for the best original score had Star Wars not existed in that same year. The movie is so influential in the Muslim world, Muslims quote the movie when they talk about the actual Muhammad, just as you would quote the movie Titanic when you talk about the actual ship. The man and his daughter was killed in 2005 when he was staying in a hotel in Amman, Jordan, when a truck bomb rocked that hotel. The man who made a movie about Islam was killed by people inspired by his own movie. That's how violent the religion of Islam is. Once again, that's the religion, not necessarily the people. How to handle the Quran correctly? You know already that just because something is in the Bible does not necessarily mean that it applies to you. Every time you hear the preacher saying, it's in the Bible, period, that's when you have to start suspecting whether what he is teaching you is the truth or not. Did you know, we all know from the Sunday school that David won over Goliath and he killed Goliath. But did you know that he actually beheaded Goliath and paraded his head all the way from the battlefield to Jerusalem? Well, it's in the Bible. Does it apply to you? Should you behead non-believers?